Today on Living Witnesses, as we read the book by Gina Lair, The Four Teresas, we're going to get started on living the lessons on page 68.
Edith Stein understood that truth and love are deeply intertwined. Her love for God was born out of her search for the truth. Once her mind embraced her Savior, she was able to love him so fervently that she wanted nothing more than to be close to him. She wrote, "One thing alone is certain, that God is, and that his hand holds us in being. Then even if around us the whole world falls to rack and ruin, we are not ruined if we hold ourselves to him." Edith has come to realize that uniting ourselves to God, even in those times when we don't comprehend everything going on around us, is a certain path to peace and security. All the great questions and trials of life lose their ability to disturb us when we rest in the knowledge that God himself walks with us. This understanding of reality, this faithful surrender of our lives, helps us to calmly accept the unknown. Not only do we live with the mysteries of our own lives, but the most important elements of the faith are also mysteries. The Trinity, the Incarnation, the Resurrection, the sacraments, and so on. These spiritual realities are so deep that we cannot wrap our minds completely around them. God knows this. He revealed these things to us. He didn't expect us to figure them out on our own. He gave us Jesus to show us eternal truth, God's wisdom. Surrendering our minds to Jesus can be difficult and humbling, as it was for Edith Stein. She needed humility to surrender her brilliant mind to the wisdom of God. Yet she never regretted choosing the obedience of faith, and neither will we. Edith knew that Jesus was the light of the world and the enlightenment of her mind. This knowledge can transform us as well. When we open our minds to the light of Christ, we can enter into new realms of knowledge and understanding as God takes our own thoughts, our intellect, our memory, and our imagination exactly where he wants them to go.
This will never mean denying scientific or philosophical truth. Truth cannot contradict itself, but it will allow new horizons to spread out before us. We will see farther and clearer than we could ever see on our own. The saints' minds were open to this supernatural expanse. These holy models were easily and joyfully led and molded, as Edith describes, by the power of God. They didn't keep a selfish and possessive hold on the powers of their minds, but offered their entire beings to God because of their great love for him. Through her life of prayer and meditation, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross came closer and closer to the wisdom of God. The insights of faith offered her mind an abundance of new material for consideration and reflection. She describes the fruit of this meditation as tranquil, peaceful, loving surrender in the presence of God, whom the soul has come to know through faith. St. Teresa Benedicta's grace-filled journey brought her to value the love of God above all philosophical investigation and debate. Her life's quest led her through faith to the simple embrace of the one truth. She realized that giving our minds to God is more than an intellectual surrender. It is an opportunity to rest forever in the fullness of truth and love.
We are now going to take a time to reflect on some thoughts that Gina has put into the book on page 70. We're going to start with for reflection. Which qualities of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross do I most admire? How could these qualities become part of who I am? Next in the book, Gina offers 10 suggestions on how we may be more like St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Number 1, pray the Liturgy of the Hours. 2. Make an annual silent retreat. 3. Study the history and customs of the Jewish people. 4. Attend lectures on religious topics. 5. make the sign of the cross when you pass a Catholic church. 6. Make scripture and other spiritual readings a part of your daily life. 7. Help an overwhelmed mother so she can be refreshed in her vocation. 8. Celebrate the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross on September 14th. 9. Study the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the writings of St. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, and Thomas Aquinas. 10. Say a prayer of thanks for God for the grace of baptism. Next in the book, Gina gives us several points to consider, and we're going to get started with a couple of those today. If Edith Stein had catered to other people's opinions, she wouldn't have become St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Her decision to convert brought about opposition, criticism, and even rejection from friends and family. A strictly rational perspective wouldn't have endured such social pressures for the sake of an invisible God. But Edith trusted the wisdom of God was greater than human wisdom, and thus a saint was born. Consider, how do I struggle when I face social oppositions to my decisions?
I do have a very personal thing that happened. I have 3 children, and I have one that has claimed to be transgender, and it's not the transgender, it's what they expect you to do with that. And I had to make a decision. And I'm telling you, I spent many times sitting with a priest in confessional wondering if I was sinning or not. And so it was a real struggle, but I knew it just went against everything that I believed about man, about humanity, about woman. And it made it very difficult. But I also found during this time when I talked about it, I found out I wasn't alone with this. There were other families, other parents that were struggling with this same thing. So it's why I bring it up, even though it's painful and personal.
Yeah, what an example of courage, Kathy, and standing against the waves, right? I mean, everywhere you look externally, it seems like media and popular opinion is trying to push us on a different trajectory than what we understand to be the true freedom of, you know, God's plan for man and woman. So I just applaud you for your courage and your faith actually, you know, living out in that concrete, difficult moment. That's a great example.
Let's look at the next point of consideration. The cross was a solution, not a problem for St. Teresa Benedicta. It offered solutions to the problem of suffering. It transformed what might have been meaningless into something redemptive. St. Teresa Benedicta did not become bitter about the sorrows or even tragedies of her life because she relied on the power of the cross. Consider, how do I respond to Christ's call to take up the cross in my life?
I have so many crosses, I don't know which one to pick. It's just, I mean, the question of how do I respond to it, my primary response is never to see it as the cross. First, it's always to just see it as this incomprehensible impossibility and problem that needs to go away that I don't understand. So I've had children with health issues. I've had massive family conflict. I've had personal struggles about what I'm supposed to be doing, just like all these things. And I don't tend to initially think of this is my opportunity. This is the cross. This is suffering. I think of it as a thing that's wrong that needs to change. And it's only in prayer. And, you know, by God's grace, I've got enough of sort of a habitual activity structure in my life that I go to prayer regularly. And it's often there in prayer where I realize or remember to put this in context. This is the cross. This is carrying the cross. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is what makes us Christian. This is the opportunity to have joy and suffering. It's this weird diagnosis of my son's, you know, visual impairment that I didn't realize he had for 6 years. That's the cross. It just feels like a huge mom fail. And it is actually in many ways, but it's the cross. It's the opportunity to trust in the Lord, to surrender, to realize that I am imperfect, to realize that he's going to have struggles. And as his mother, I'm going to have to accept that he will have struggles and that I can't make everything perfect for him. So anyway, that's my problem is just.
And I think at Christmas time, it is going to be a really great, practical way to go live it. Because how many of us might be going to a holiday meal And there may be people that were like, we don't want to be around. What if right now that is ordained for us at this moment to bring us closer to Jesus, to look at that person totally different, to really see Jesus in that person? And that's as we go and we approach Teresa of Calcutta, that's her whole spirituality of picking up Jesus on the street. So I can hardly wait for her.
Yeah. Right. I remember an Advent a few years ago, and you know, I thought, you know, this, I'm going to make this a great Advent, and I'm going to pray. The very beginning of Advent, I think I lost my Magnificat, and it was lost the entire Advent. I could not find it. And then like there's these other things, like my husband was traveling, speaking, like all the kids are sick, you know, we're all sick in the house. And then even the dog like threw up in my shoe, you know, and you're like, really? Like, come on. And you know, it's not even like a big deal. It's just kind of these silly little, you know, crosses, these daily little things, or you think you have a plan for the day, and then, you know, someone gets sick, something happens, and all of a sudden you have to pivot, and you're like, okay, I guess that's not what I'm doing today, you know, and just that flexibility that we need to be able to see, okay, what's the call of the moment? And that's something I think, I'm starting to a little bit come out of that phase, but a mother of young children definitely feels that. You know, I think once I read in a Father Jacques Philippe book, he was quoting a nun as saying, holiness consists in being ready in 5 minutes notice to do the opposite of what you had intended. And in you know, some of my bitterer moments, I'd cackle, well, if that isn't the definition of motherhood, I don't know what is, right? You know, like just having to completely like, okay, I'm trying to make dinner and there's a blood-curdling scream in the next room. I guess I have to stop what I'm doing. You know, just those little crosses of giving up our, you know, our will of what we thought we were going to do or what our plan was, and realizing that a lot of times that shifts.
Gina, yeah. You mentioned something called the Magnificat. What exactly is that? I've heard of it. I don't know if you could tell us what it is.
Veronica mentioned it, right?
Oh, so, I'm sorry, Veronica.
I use it too, but go ahead, Veronica.
Oh, yeah, it's basically just a beautiful prayer book, beautiful pictures. It's sort of a shortened form of the Liturgy of the Hours, which I guess kind of relates to that, you know, one of those 10 ways to be like Edith Stein. It has the mass readings, it has a morning prayer, evening prayer, lots of, you know, a reflection each day on from a saint, you know, going with their readings of the day. And it's just a really beautiful way because it just goes with all the seasons. It's all put together for you. And just to be a springboard of prayer, you know, in scripture and connected to the daily mass and the Liturgy of the Hours.
And it's actually a monthly subscription. It's a little magazine type thing that comes in the mail, and it has all of the prayers and readings for that month. They've also got a children's version called Magnificat.
Well, and that kind of brings in number 6 of the 10 ways to be more like St. Teresa, make scripture and other spiritual reading a part of your daily life. So that's something that we actually could go forward, whether it's the Magnificat or it's, you know, certainly online. There's plenty of apps, you know, that you can sign up for free and get those to your inbox or whatever. So during the month of December, if you're listening to this in December or any time of year, we can get into that habit. And that little nugget, sometimes they're only 5 to 6 minutes long. I can do that. I think I can do that.
We are going to wrap up chapter 3 on St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross from Gina Lohr's book, The Four Teresas Tomorrow, with the final 3 kind of reflections that Gina's put in here under her points of consideration.